A reading from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Today is our celebration of Epiphany.
Oh.
Yes. The word Epiphany, as many of you know, means manifestation or appearance. And so tonight we are celebrating the appearance of our God in human flesh. And his shining forth from that little town of Bethlehem to all people throughout the world. Our gospel reading tonight tells how the heavens declared his glory in the form of a star, like our star up there. And wise men from the east followed that star to find him and worship him and welcome him into this world. Now, the wise men were not actually kings, as we are usually taught in our songs. They were magi, Zoroastrian priests and astrologers from the Persian Empire. They studied the stars to discern God's will, and through them, God revealed the Christ child. The magi were foreigners. They were practitioners of a different religion. They spoke a strange language, and they had different habits and customs. But they were the ones to announce the birth of Jesus to his own people. God works in mysterious ways. The story of the visit of the Magi has strong political undertones. From the very beginning, Jesus upsets the order of things, both religiously and politically. The Magi went to Jerusalem, the capital city, the political center of Judea, and they told the current king, King Herod, that they had come to pay homage to the new king. I'm surprised Herod didn't throw them in jail right then and there for trying to incite a rebellion or something. Perhaps he knew better than to start a war with Persia. King Herod was a paranoid, heartless ruler who killed some of his own sons to prevent them from ascending to the throne. He wouldn't have thought anything of killing this child from Bethlehem, which he tried to do. He must have been terrified to hear of the birth of a new king. The chief priests and the scribes consulted scripture, and they told the Magi about a prophecy that a child would be born in Bethlehem. When I hear this story, I have to wonder, did they believe it? Did they believe that prophecy? Or were they too enmeshed in their circles of power and privilege, too close to the king, to imagine that God might choose, of all places, Bethlehem? A small town, not a big city like New York City. A symbol of weakness rather than strength. A sign that God was more concerned with shepherding the common people than playing the games of elite rulers. Maybe the king and his men thought they were sending the Magi on a fool's errand. But the Magi went, and it was no fool's errand. They found the child with Mary and his mother, and they worshipped him. The foreigners in this story, the outsiders, were the ones to seek after and recognize the true king. Epiphany begins a season where we reflect on the manifestations of God's love in our world. And so our first reading tonight from the first epistle or letter of John reflects on the nature of that love and how it animates our whole lives. The final verse is the key. We love because God first loved us. During this season, which begins with the Magi visiting baby Jesus, I'm going to invite us here at St. Lydia's to talk about Christian hospitality and welcoming all people. I know those phrases can easily become cliches, but I want us to wrestle with their real implications. Because welcoming people is not always fun or easy. Usually it's the opposite. It makes us uncomfortable. We like things the way they are. We have systems and ways of doing things, and they work well. When you welcome people, sometimes you have to change. That's why our country is so afraid of immigration. You have to sit a little closer together at your tables. Your guests might like different kinds of food. You might have to have uncomfortable conversations, or you might not even understand the languages that they speak. When I say at the beginning of worship, "You are very welcome here," I'm speaking on behalf of the entire congregation, and I'm helping us to imagine a different way of being in the world. So I want us to think about that sentence. Do we really mean it? Is anyone who shows up here very welcome? And if so, what does that welcome entail? Oftentimes, people in churches and other organizations think of themselves as the church or the organization, and they think that their job is to teach the new people, welcome the new people, to join them, and teach them how to be like them. That's not Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality starts by recognizing that we are all guests. That everything we do and everything we have and everything we share is a gift from God. There may be newer guests who don't know as much about this particular community, but we have all been called here by the Spirit, and we are all guests at God's table. And we never know exactly how and when God is going to appear in our midst. Or rather, when we will realize that God is already present in our midst. The story of the Magi is not so much about the welcome that the Magi gave to the Christ child. Rather, it is that God welcomed them, the Magi. God reached out to them. God spoke to them through their language and their passions and their interests. God used their astrology, their pagan science, to point them towards God's self. That doesn't sound very radical to us today. Astrology isn't something that scares us. But what if God uses other beliefs and worldviews that we aren't so comfortable with to reveal God's self? Think about that. God's welcome isn't reserved for when we arrive at a right worldview. God didn't just welcome the Magi once they got to Bethlehem. God actively drew them there and guided them along their journey. That's how God works. That's how God led you and me here. That's how God is leading us now, leading us toward joy, overwhelming joy, a new life, and the gift of love, which overflows into welcoming others. When the Magi found baby Jesus, the Bible says, they were overwhelmed with joy. Have you ever experienced that kind of joy? Has God ever led you to an unexpected place where you have found an unexpected manifestation of God's love, and it has brought you great joy? We human beings, we have fragile egos. We're more often like King Herod or the chief priests and the scribes than we are like the Magi. Too often we are held captive by our fears and insecurities, our anxieties and our desires. We crave love and connection. We long to be welcomed, but often we look for it in the wrong places. The Magi's welcome doesn't lie in their treasure chests full of gifts for the Christ child. Their welcome lies in their joy, in their bowing down and giving themselves over to the Christ child. Their welcome is rooted in God's welcome. We love because God first loved us. Before we can truly welcome others, we have to realize that God has already welcomed us, in spite of all of our imperfections and the ways that we disrupt the ideal world that God created. God has already welcomed us. The manifestation of God in that tiny baby in Bethlehem is for us, for you and I. God comes to us in weakness and vulnerability. That's when we see God most clearly. When our need is the greatest, that's when she comes to us and welcomes us in ways that we can actually see and understand and follow. It is then, having been welcomed in Christ's name, sharing his body and blood around these tables, then we can welcome others. We can welcome others because now we're not welcoming them just to be like us. We're welcoming all of us to become something more, to be transformed into the body of Christ, a mystical union that carries us in the valleys of pain and suffering and also elevates us to peaks of great joy. We're welcoming one another, not into our fellowship, but into Christ's fellowship, Christ's commonwealth, Christ's life, death, and resurrection. It's beautiful. It's scary. It's unexpected. It's comforting. And it's welcoming. It's life together in Christ. And I invite us all to share that welcome with one another.